Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, somebody. Glory to Jesus. So, my name is Sister Nzbechukwu Kiki, and I'm standing before you in God's presence to share what the Lord has done for me. And what the Lord has done for me, I cannot tell it all. What the Lord has done for me, I cannot tell it all. What the Lord has done for me, I cannot tell it all. He saved me and washed me in his blood. Anyway, hallelujah to Jesus. So, hi guys. Welcome back to Brave Not Perfect. I know, before you say it, before the both of us say it, I know it has been such a long time. And this particular episode is a highly requested one. I've had a lot of people on my neck, you know, wanting me to put out this episode as soon as I can. And here I am. So we're not even going to address the elephant in the room just yet. I just want to share with my friends, my family on here, what God has done for me, and you know, where I've been for the past few months. So yes, just, you know, sit back, relax, you're in for a good time, and bear with me. My thoughts might be all over the place. I haven't really, you know, I didn't really sit down to script this, so I'm pouring all of this just from my heart and from a place of openness, a lot of transparency, because this is exactly what I promised God. I remember clearly telling God that, you know what, I know you will do this thing for me, but I'm promising you this, like, if you do this, everybody's going to hear it, and they are going to hear every part of the story. I'm going to be as transparent as possible in sharing this, so that even if it blesses one person, then I know that, you know, my job here is done and you take all the glory from it. So yes, I probably will take some of your time, a bit of your time, but I promise you it will be worth it. And I hope that, you know, this testimony blesses you the way that it has continued to bless me. I mean, it is my testimony, but it continues to bless me. It continues to just, you know, inspire me and also build my faith in God. So my brothers and sisters, it all started back in it started back in 2022. I had just finished house job. I finished house job like June of 2022, yeah. And I finished house job bearing in mind that I did not want to continue my medical training here in Nigeria. I mean, things were already bad as of 2022. Like, the Japa syndrome was already something that was, you know, such a big deal. A lot of people were going to the UK. There were a few people I knew of that had mentioned that they wanted to take, you know, the US route, and you know, it was just up in the air for a lot of people, but people wanted to leave, right? And I remember that 2022 finishing house job was a bitter sweet experience for me. That's like story for another day or whatever, but like, the stories, my experience in house job didn't really leave me with a lot of clarity on what I wanted to do next, even though I knew I wanted to pursue training in the US, but I didn't know like the next steps, like the immediate next steps to take. I had because of a lot of misconceptions about, you know, how difficult it is getting into specialty training in the US, in the back of my mind, I just thought, this is not something I can do by myself. I'll need a lot of help. I had heard about prep school. There's the Kaplan prep school in the US, and I had spoken to my family members and I had sort of convinced them that, you know what, these exams are really difficult and you need to, you know, you need to be adequately prepared so that you stand a chance of getting it, right? So I had spoken to them about the idea of Kaplan prep school and how it also would give me like a student visa to get into the US, right? And they bought into the idea and they were like, okay, fine, when you're done with house job, we can look into getting you into Kaplan prep school. Anyway, you know how they say that man plans, how do they say that thing again, man proposes and God disposes. So I had finished house job, and then see me really thinking, I'm such a Delulu girl, honestly. Like, I make a lot of things in my head. I plan a lot of things in my head, and I really expect things to work out the way I've planned. But, you know, I've come to realize that throughout this journey, God has constantly taught me that, see, my ways are higher than your ways. Like, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You know, you think you have all of this on check. You have all the plans and all of that. But trust me, I know better, right? So I've learned it the hard way. It wasn't an easy lesson to learn. It wasn't a fun one to learn either. So that 2022 now, I finished house job, came back home. I didn't even have plans of starting private practice or getting to start like medical officer work, right? I feel like a lot of people that are going to relate more to this testimony will be people in the medical field. But I hope everybody listening or anybody that listens to this can, you know, get a grasp of what I'm saying and, you know, understand the, you know, be able to dip it, you know, what God did for me, and, you know, how it can, you know, how it relates to them in their own situation. So I came back home. I wasn't really expecting to, you know, start private practice or start work. It was just, okay, what's the next step? I used it, was starting to register for Kaplan, whatever. And some sort of tragedy struck, some sort of financial tragedy struck, and there was no money for Kaplan, right? Like, my family had thought that, oh, the entire money needed, I think as of that time, I can't remember, I think it was like, was it 15k? I honestly cannot remember all the details now. I don't know if it was like $15k or 10k, I can't remember all the details now, really, so I don't want to say what I'm not exactly sure of. So my family had initially thought that it was something that was going to be paid over time, but for some reason the money needed to be paid up front, like before starting or something like that. So it was like, okay, this would be like, you know, these plans need to like chill for a bit, okay? Like, it's going to happen, but let's it just chill for a bit, like, not like now, do you get? So I was heartbroken. And but of course, like, what was I going to do about it? I did not have that kind of money, right? So a couple of my friends that were also thinking about going the USMLE route, like, we said, you know what, let's just start reading together, let's start a group chat or whatever. So we started like a group, and we started discussing around that time. And even though, like, we're all clueless, like, we didn't even know what we're doing, we're not sure when we're going to write the exam, there was no clear cut, like, you know, plan, like, okay, this is it, you're going to write your exam, this, you're going to do that. We didn't even know what we're doing. We didn't have a lot of information, right? So we're just winging it, like, just having fun as friends and just doing whatever. So this, the rest of 2022 was passing, and then when it got to, around August. So I had been at home June, July, August. I say, hey, this is how I don't have money, I'm just at home. Obviously, like, the plans I initially made were not going to, you know, happen the way I planned it. So I had to talk sense to myself, and I had to start working, right? So that was how I started working. And when I now started working, like, obviously, even doing the group discussions with them and studying took a backseat. Like, it now felt like, I don't know when this is going to happen. So I kind of left all of the plans, left all of the USMLE plans, left all of that. And meanwhile, in the other part of my life, I felt like I didn't really have a lot of control, like, over things during my house job. So I was left with a lot of mess when it came to my spiritual life, my relationship with God, also my relationship with my friends, my relationship with my partner. Like, things had, it was a huge mess. Like, I wasn't in control of certain things, and I wasn't really the best version of myself, and I knew it myself. I actually knew it at the time, but I was aware, but I didn't know what to do about it. Or maybe I wasn't brave enough at the time to do what I knew I needed to do about the situation. So I was just kind of winging it, going with the flow, and, you know, just, you know, days just kept going by. So this time I was already working, just going to work, coming back. Things were just really messy. And on the other hand, I had this growth on my neck. So this was such a huge thing, and this is one of the reasons I even kind of disappeared on YouTube. those of you that are OGs on Brave Not Perfect know that I have a YouTube as well, and I kind of disappeared on YouTube as well. Of course, during house job, I had valid reasons. House job was on my neck, but like after house job, I said I was going to continue, and I continued for a bit, and I kind of disappeared again because I started being, you know, self-conscious about the growth I had on my neck. So at this point in this story, you know that there was a lot going on for me, a whole lot, you know, a whole lot happening. So this growth on my neck, I am someone that I can overthink. I can be a paranoid person. I can overthink a lot of things, and sometimes I don't want to face my problems head on. I tend to just sweep them under the carpet and like just move on, because I don't want to think about, you know, the weight of the problem, or, you know, what I need to do to solve the problem. So like when this, you know, neck growth thing per se, when I noticed it at first, it wasn't something that was so obvious that I except I extend my neck, you know, and probably like show you. You might not know that it's there. So, and the fact that I didn't have symptoms, like I knew it was a thyroid problem, like it was a thyroid related issue, right? But the fact that I didn't have any thyroid symptoms, nothing at all, I just told myself, you know what, let me kind of avoid this issue. So I avoided it up until around that, you know, October, November. It started getting bigger. And then there were this other stuff as well that was just going on with, you know, finances, me working, me thinking what I'm doing in my future. You know, that post, there's usually a post-house job crisis. You know, if you're in the medical field, I think you can understand what I mean. So, you know, after school, you don't really feel it because you know that the next thing is house job is like certain for everybody. But like after house job, I know that usually for most people, like the next thing is NYSC. People get post NYSC, you know, crisis. But in my own case, and in the case of a lot of people today, where there's a lot of where there's the, you know, the JABA thing going on, there's post house job crisis. It's like, okay, what's my plan? Am I remaining in Nigeria? What's the next thing for me to do? So for me, it was that post-house job crisis and then the other stuff that was happening in my life as well. So I had done, before I left house job, I had done a couple of tests, and, you know, they had told me, oh, like, this thing doesn't have any signs of malignancy. Your thyroid panels, like your TSH levels, T3, T4, all of that, they were all normal. And, you know, you're fine, you're asymptomatic, you know, they had done a scan of the neck and there were no signs of malignancy. So it kind of put me to, like, made me chill a bit. But at the same time, I was becoming conscious of the stuff that was on my neck and just conscious of people asking me, oh, what's that? What's on your neck? So I had stopped making videos, stopped making appearances on social media, you know, started, you know, and, you know, that's the thing with, you know, the devil. And that's, you know, how fear can just get so much into the fabrics of your soul that, you know, you start going deep into your shell, and before you know it, fear, you know, grows bigger into insecurity, into doubt, into depression. You know, it can eat deep into you and become a whole, just, you know, makes a mountain out of a little anthill, you know. So that happened, and as much as I tried to keep sweeping the entire situation under the carpet, this mask continued growing, and I was going to work, coming back planless. There was still the USM in by the side. And then I remember first week of December very well. I remember it vividly. This was the last day of November, actually. I sat myself down. You know, at some point in life, you need to sit yourself down. I sat myself down and I told myself, I was to be like, this is not you. This is not, you know, what God planned for you. This is not what you planned for yourself. So I sat myself down and I told myself, you know what? This has to end. Okay, this has to end. I remember vividly, that was like the last day of November. I said, no, can't continue like this. So first week of December, I told myself I was going to go back to church. At this point, I had not gone to church in like, what, 2 years. I was getting to 2 years, right? I started house job 2021. The whole of 2021, I can count the number of times I went to church. And, you know, I could say valid reason I had, you know, work. 2022 rolled by and it was ending and it was still the same thing. So I told myself, you know what, it has to stop, right? So I had told myself I was going to start attending church again. I was going to take my relationship with God serious. I was going to try and put my life in order. I was going to decide when I wanted to write, you know, my USMLEs and start studying, like, you know, seriously studying about them. You know, I decided all of these things and I, you know, cried to God, literally, like, you know, cried. If you know me well, you know that, you know, they had me to cry, actually, especially when it comes to, like, crying to God. I would bawl my eyes out in front of my father. And, you know, I cried to God. And I told God, you know what, just do your thing. Like, just help me, but do your thing. And first week of December, I started making plans. I told myself I was going to, first of all, I wanted to find a home church. That was, like, the first thing on my list. I needed to, you know, get back on my groove. I needed to, you know, just get it right, you know, my relationship with God. So I told my sister that, you know, I'm looking for a home church. And then she was like, she recommended a couple of places, actually. So, and she's like, okay, fine, you can attend this, attend that, attend that. So I attended a couple of churches, not a couple of, actually, let me just count. I attended 3 churches before I found my home church. So, and I remember being on Twitter that first week of December, and I kept hearing, you know, stuff about CCI, reboot camp. You know how CCI members can make noise on social media. So I kept hearing about it, kept seeing stuff about it. And I'm like, okay, let me just go. This place is not so far from me. Let me just attend. I remember it was a Saturday. I just carried my bag. I had been hearing about CCI before then. I probably, like, listened to a couple of messages from Pastor Emmanuel Aaron, but then, like, it wasn't anything, so I wasn't really so involved. So that Saturday, I carried my bag and I found my way to the Reboot Camp Center. And I got there, you guys, I got there, and I feel like at that point, my life made a U-turn, is so small, roundabout, like 360 turn, like everything literally turned around. So I decided a lot of things. I decided I wanted to turn things around. So I said, okay, you know what, next year I'm writing my step one and my step two. I hadn't decided I was going to apply for the match. I just knew I was going to write my step one and step two and then know the next thing. So I also decided that I had found my home church because of, you know, the amount of peace. And I felt like I had gotten a warm hug from Jesus. Like, I literally got a warm hug and it was like, okay, I know what to do next, right? So I know also that, you know, in a bit to, you know, turn things around for myself, I made a lot of drastic changes, a lot of drastic decisions or whatnot. But that's like story for another day, literally. So I just use literally now. Story for another day. So, anywho, got right on track. And I feel like that's the best thing that happened to me because I got right on track with God and it felt like God was preparing me for the next year. He had started preparing me for the next year without me knowing. So I got right on track with God. And there was something I started doing. Because of so much, the kind of fear I had experienced, I was experiencing fear of not knowing what was wrong with me, what was wrong with my neck, experiencing fear of the future, not knowing what was in store for me for the next year and how I was going to do that. Experiencing fear of, you know, just being a failure. Like, I don't even know how much am I earning. Like, I'm not doing so well, right, for myself. You know, that just all that pressure I was putting on myself at that time. I started to start doing something that honestly completely changed the game for me, and I'm going to tell you what I did. I started writing down God's promises to me. So it was such a fun thing to do. So it was like a treasure hunt. Whenever I studied the scriptures, I would write down, there's a part in my journal where it's written like God's promises to us be, and just they're just like random scriptures that when I read felt like, you know, God is telling me something here. Okay, like there were a lot of things that he has spoken concerning me, you know, in the scriptures that I just wrote out and personalized them, and I just wrote them out. I would write out the scripture, write out like where I would, like where it is in the Bible, write out the entire like passage, and then I just kept writing things. I just kept building up, you know, there were scriptures concerning the future, concerning career, concerning health, concerning finances, concerning marriage, just a lot of scriptures. So I just kept writing them down, right? And this was in December. So remember, I had been running away from my neck thing. I didn't want to do further tests. So the next thing, after doing the scan, the TFTs, the next thing I was supposed to do was a biopsy. So in this case, a fine needle aspiration and with cytology. I was supposed to do that next, but I was so scared because at this point I knew that an FNAC would definitely say what it was. So it was a malignancy, and FNAC would say or would point to that. So I was so scared to do an FNAC. I didn't want to do it. So a friend talked me into doing it sometime in December. So I was like, you know what, let me just go and do it. Since we're getting things right. So I remember going for my FNAC, I think on the 27th or the 28th of December, I went for my FNAC. The results were supposed to come out like in 2 weeks or so, 1 week thereabout, I'm not sure. But I remember it came out like ending of the first week of January. So I went for the FNAC, forgot about it. First week of January, I got my UWORD. I think I got my UWORD on the 3rd of January. So I got my UWORD and I started studying like crazy. Like I got my UWORD and I knew that I wanted to write my exam by April. In my mind, like I was going to write this exam by April. So I got my UWORD and I started studying. I was still going to work and I was studying. So I can't remember the date. I think it was 7th or 8th of January, and I got my result of my FNAC, and then it said suspicious of malignancy. Hey, that was where the waterworks came down. I say, hey, the devil has now seen me. Oh my God, you guys, I cried so much. I thought my life was over. I thought I was going to die. And then, like, at the same time, like, I had all these fears, but I feel like it would have been worse if I had gotten that news before then, because I was scared, but then I still trusted God. I was like, there's no way, you know, you promise all of these things, and then I started chewing these promises. Ah, you guys, I would literally be saying it back to God. Like, you're my portion in the land of the living. Like, how you gonna be my portion when I'm dead? So I started, you know, that was when the promises of God that I had written down came in so handy, so handy. They were the words I literally used to, you know, talk to myself, you know, to brave the situation. And I'm so happy that I feel like God had prepared me for that moment, because I don't know how I would have coped. I don't know what would have happened if that was not the case. I had my friends. Oh my God. When I talk about my friends, I don't know. I don't know where to start. Like, I had people calling me, praying for me. I had people holding my hands. I had people texting me that they were, you know, praying for me. It was such a hard time. Ah, you people, there were times that I... my patients. I saw some patients with red eyes. Because there were some times, like, in between seeing patients, I would just start crying. I would start crying. There was always, like, them pocket tissues in my bag. They would finish the pocket tissues. Like, I think they're probably, like, 10 or so in a pack. Those ones will finish. I now use my lens cleaner, like, from my glasses to be cleaning my... this particular one, the yellow lens cleaner in my bag, I think suffered in my hands. It will clean tears. And I'll just see the patient with red eyes. I'll wear back my glasses. You will not know what's wrong with me now. Whether you guess it's tears or whether you guess it's conjunctivitis I have, I don't know for you. But, like, you know, it was a lot for me at that time. And I really, really want to thank God for my family and my friends, because they really held me up. So, you know, the result came out immediately, like, swung into action, like, called my surgeon. God bless him so much. I don't know if it would have been okay, like, for me to call his name, but I really, really just want to say that he's an amazing person. The person that did my surgery, an amazing, amazing. He was my teacher, an amazing, amazing person. I reached out to him, and then he was like, you know what, let's take it out. And he booked me. He wasn't even in the country when I reached out to him. He booked me for surgery on the 16th of February. And it was like, Nsbe, just come, let's take it out and find out what it is. I had told him of my exam plans and everything. He just told me, just continue reading. Don't worry yourself. And don't worry, you won't like take a lot of time to recuperate. It's like a day case. You'll be fine. He just made me feel so calm about the situation. And I just want to thank God, because I know that God actually orders our steps. Like, as Christians, like, he orders our steps. Like, to the littlest details that you would never imagine that he would do. He would order your steps. So, he booked me for surgery for the 16th, and I started preparing. You people now see me preparing for surgery, see me having exam. See me having exam first week of April. I just just continued. I continued reading as much as I could. A week to my exam, I tried to cover so much because I did. A week to my surgery, sorry, I tried to cover so much because I did not know how, you know, recovering will be, like the recovery period will be. So I tried to cover as much as I could. I got to Enugu. Oh my God, you guys, I have like really the best friends, like the very best friends in my corner. Their parents too, like not just my friend, like is at this point is like family affair to get to my friends, their parents as well. Everybody was just like my family members were not even there for my surgery. Like I just told them, don't worry, there are people that will take care of me. Don't bother yourself. And like my parents were just so in awe of the kind of friendships I have been able to build. And you know, not just like my friends by themselves, but also their parents and them looking out for me in that time. So I don't know. This thing is making me so emotional right now. But anyway, so surgery day came by, rolled by, went amazing, successful. Thank you, God. And you know, next day my surgeon said, you know what, carry your bag and go home, you're not doing anything in this hospital. So discharged me like literally the next day, or right, yeah, I think the next day after surgery he discharged me. And then recuperation started, and I continued my reading. I tried to read and as much as I could. It wasn't working for some time. And then I also had some issues to sort out with UNN, with transcript and whatever. Like, you know, a lot of stress that period. It was crazy. I have lots of videos of myself crying in my phone. Like, I'll probably, like, just take out my phone to make a video because I wanted to document the entire, like, surgical healing process and all of that. And I would just start crying. I was like, God, what is this? What's going on? Anyway, like, all of those are stories and, you know, like, receipts that of God's faithfulness. And I am so glad that I have those things because I honestly don't. Sometimes I just think, like, what will happen in my life now that will make me doubt God? Like, I don't know what it is. I'll probably doubt for a moment. Like, I'll probably have some moments of unbelief. But it's like, Zubi, God has seen you through shege. Do you get? So I'm glad I you know, kept those receipts. And it's so important really to keep receipts of God's dealings with you. Right? So recuperation passed. I came back to Lagos like maybe like ending of last week of February. Came back to Lagos and I knew that the month of March is do or die. Literally do or die. So I did not die. I did. And after the month of March, first week of April, went to write my exam. And I remember going into that exam week with so much anxiety because I had heard a lot of things. And a couple of my friends that had written their exams, they even already told me how they went through UWAR twice, how they, you know, all the study. And look at me, like, going to write step one. I hadn't even finished UWAR. I think I was, like, 70% done. It's like, what am I doing? What kind of risky behavior is this? I remember when I said that God's promises are yes and amen. No, let me tell you guys. I would just literally tell myself, like, this is what you said, God, and you're going to do it. I would do my own part, though, but you would do your own part. That's what I know. I would sit myself down. I'll look at myself in the mirror and tell myself, Ozubi, don't be scared. After a few moments of saying that, I'm probably gonna cry or do something, but I just had to gas myself up in that way. And I went into that exam so anxious. The first block of, you know, the way USML is, you know, the way the exams are, they are in blocks. So the first block of 40 questions, I was shaking throughout. Like, after the first block, I had to calm down. I said, Zubi, you're already in the exam hall, like, just calm down. I was shaking. I was picking options. I was shaking. My hands were trembling. Because I was so anxious. I was so scared of failing. I felt so unprepared. And I would advise you, please don't do this. This is my story. This is my testimony. But please don't do it. Like, don't go into this exam except you feel prepared. So, you guys, that happened. After my exam, I passed step one. Hey. After the euphoria of passing step one, I was like, hey, the Lord has done this thing for me. Let me just calm down and I'll read for step two. If I hear. First of all, I took sabbatical. after I passed step one in, I think my result came out like April 19th. And then I started resting. The lounging began. I watched movies. So I just come back from work, eat and watch movie. And probably like help around in the house or whatever. So like that was when my lounging started. I was not even thinking about step two. April rolled around. May finished. Ending of May. I remember having a conversation with a friend that I had written step one before. I wrote step one like maybe a week or 2 weeks before her, and I had a conversation with her like, what's up, what's the plan for step two? And she's like, yeah, she has already started reading. I say, eh, you say, are you planning to apply for the match this year? And she's like, yeah, like by God's grace, I don't know if it's possible yet, but I was like, okay, what am I doing in my life? We're already like, we're about to enter June next week, what's up with that? And she was like, just try, just start. And she said she was going to add me to a reading group discussion group. I said, okay, fine, please add me, let me know what I'm doing in my life. And I spoke with my family. I was like, I want to try to write step two. And they're like, are you sure you don't want to rest? And you know, I've spoken to a couple of senior colleagues that told me, you know what, just calm down, take your time, use at least 6 months, prepare for your exam so that you score a really high score. And I was like, yeah, I'm thinking about that as well. Also, I'm also thinking about writing the exam like before, so I can just apply for the match, because I have a couple of friends applying. And, you know, they are really motivating me too. And, you know, I kind of stopped talking to people about, like, some senior people about the plans, because it sounded stupid. Like, just calm down. You have time on your hands. It's not like you have time on your hands. Don't go and botch your exam because you're rushing, right? So I stopped just talking to people about it, except my friends. And I remember getting my UO like first week of June. I think June 3rd or June 6th. I can't remember. First week of June. And I booked my OETs too around that time. I booked my OETs for July, first week of July. And then I paid for my step two, booked my step two for. Yeah. Booked my step two for August. I say, what's going? It's be like, is it that you like risk? What's really going on? But yeah, you know what they say, high risk, high reward. But sometimes you gotta sit down and count the cost, because if you don't count the cost, you might not be able to ascertain if you're able to do what it takes to, you know, achieve what you're going for. I had sat down, I had counted the cost. I knew I was going to study like a mad person, and I was ready to. I started praying to God, like, you know, telling God, these are the things you said concerning me. I know you said this concerning me, but I'm going to need help. I know I didn't start on time, but I'm going to need help. I made a lot of specific prayers. And there's also something I understood that period. I studied the book of James where, you know, he said, oh, like, we don't get the things we ask for because we ask amiss. And I had understood it in a different way. Like, yes, first of all, ask according to God's will. That's number one. When you're asking according to God's will, you best believe that he's going to honor those, you know, honor his promises. And also, like, I wanted to be specific in my asking. I wanted, you know, God to do like specific things for me, and I started asking for specific things. So I remember when I started studying for step two, I had asked God, I need speed. I need the kind of speed that, like, just give me speed. I need to be reading and understanding. Like, I don't even want to read one line, and once I read it, I want to understand what they are saying there. I need speed for understanding. I need speed, you know, just studying speed. I need it. I asked for speed. I asked for retention. I wanted to retain every single thing I read. I asked for like a very sharp residual memory. Like, these were like, it was very specific prayer points I was asking God for. And then God did it like that, though. You guys, like, I read for step two in like 2 months and a little change. And in between that time, I had OET as well. So I was, at first, I started with doing like 3 blocks a day. When I was still going to work, I would just do like 3 blocks of UWorld in a day. And people that study UWorld know how difficult that is. It's not easy, like, to do 3 blocks of UWorld and still do the corrections, understand what you're doing and all of that. I started with that. And then I think after June, I stopped working after June. From July, like, when I had to take my OETs, a week before my OETs, I stopped working. Prepared for my OETs. I used, like, probably a couple of days to prepare for my OETs. God, please, honestly, I don't think you should take advice from me when it comes to prep. Really, don't do it. This this story is for the sake of testimony and for you to join me and thank God for what he did for me. So I took a couple of days before OETs, just practiced some listening, some reading, and then I was reading some letters, like a summarized copy of letters that I had gotten from my friends that I had written before. I was reading that, and then after I finished OET, I started doing 8 blocks of UWorld in a day. Sometimes I'll do more than 8. Hey God, I wanted to run mad. First of all, UWorld, for step 2, I think question bank is like almost 4,000. It's like 4,000 questions. You guys, I finished it. I finished that question bank before I went in for my exam. The only part of the UWorld I did not do, and of course I was not going to do it, was biostats. First of all, if you know me, now I have a problem with biostats. Like, don't stress me. Don't stress me, please. I don't just like it for any reason. And I, most of the time, like, I always just leave it to God. This biostats, first of all, in my step 1, I left it to God, and I did not get a single question from biostats, like calculation. But I knew that I was not going to escape it in my step 2. But I just told God at the same time, like, please, give me, like, really easy ones. I cannot do this. I just can't. I beg. I just can't. And I did not read biostats. I honestly didn't. I take risks like that. I did not read biostats. And, I finished the UWorld, like, 1 week to my exam. And I finished the year 1 week to my exam. And then that week, I just, of course, in between, I was doing my MBMEs as well. I remember, like, just getting encouraged when my MBMEs, like, my scores kept increasing. Like, I started with a baseline of, like, 243. That was, like, the first MBME I took was 243. And I was aiming in the 260s, to be fair, to be honest, even though I was being delusional because, people I know that got 260s, they read for a long time more. And it makes sense because, like, honestly, that's how the USMLEs work. Like, the amount of time you read, like, some is, like, proportionate to, you know, the amount of knowledge you have, and, you know, maybe the score you get as well. So imagine me coming with, bouncing in with my flash reading for how many months and wanting to, you know. But me, the way I trust God, like, nothing is impossible for God, right? So me, I kept saying, oh God, I want my scores to increase. The very last MBM I wrote before my exam, like 3 days out to my exam, I got like a 257, and that was like my exam score. So I finished MBMEs, went in for my exam. I felt more confident actually going for step 2. I felt more confident after the exam. I felt okay. Like, even though you feel meh after exams, like, you know, you start remembering things you failed and all of that, I felt better than how I did after my step 1. Step 1 was such a difficult exam. So, I felt just okay. And then my result came out, and then I passed. I got a 257. I was like, oh my God, how? How? How did this happen? But, you know, those that wait on the Lord, those that wait on the Lord, those that wait on the Lord, let's stop there. So, that happened, got my step 2 results. So it's like, oh my God, so I can actually apply this year. How did this happen? And really, my result came. I remember my result coming out on the 30th of August. That's 2 weeks after I'd written. Came out, and then it was like, okay, it's time to apply. And then got my token. Thank God for my family members. Thank God for people around. Honestly, like, thank God for people around me. They were so much help, so much help. So, and I also just want to say, like, you see, Jehovah Jireh, don't play with him. Don't play with him. Because at every point, it felt like in the nick of time, I think that's how he said, in the nick of time, he just provided what was needed. What was needed in the nick of time. You guys. Anywho, application season rolled around. And, of course, I had to gather, like, letters of recommendation. I had to gather, you know, like, my other things in my application, put together my CV, put together my personal statement, all of that. And then the people, my letter authors, golden, all of them, from, like, I had 4 letter authors, amazing people, like, God used them. They didn't even stress me. They just authored my letters and anywho, that happened. I wrote personal statement from beginning of September to end of September. I was writing my life story. I wrote personal statement from beginning of September till the deadline for application was 27 September, and I sent in my application like on the 26th or so. So I wrote it from September 1st till September 26th. Well, glory to Jesus that it was done at the end of the day. So put together my application, sent it out, and started, you know, begging God for interviews. But the thing is, what I have realized in this journey is that, like I said, God's promises are yes and amen. My biggest tip out of USMLE journey is hold God by his neck. My biggest tip is hold God by his neck. Because let me tell you, it's not by power, it's not by might, it's not by getting to 80s, it's not by doing clinical experience in the US, it's not by having letters of recommendation from the US. Because look at me and look at my friends, we didn't have any of those, but look at our story. So it's just a lot of trusting God, okay? It's a lot of trusting God in this process, and a lot of praying hard, honestly. I don't know what else to say. Of course, you're going to do your part, you're going to study for exams and get good scores, but you have to trust and believe. Okay, so interview season rolled by. I got 5 interviews and did my interviews. One other very big testimony from my USMLE journey is how I wrote step 3. Let me tell you guys, when I see Akachukwu dear, like God's hand is in it, I am not joking. I kid you not. God's hand was in it. So I remember talking to one of my friends, and there's also another thing that I have to say. So I think my voice got low for a bit there, sorry. So there's also something else I want to say. When God wants to do things for you, he's going to send you men. You're not going to see a large hand coming out of the sky, you know, trying to help you through stuff. He's going to send you men, human beings like you. And God literally sent me humans, like angels in human forms. I met some people in the course of this journey. What you have mentioned is like, you know, Kosi. I met her like, you know, when I was about to write step 2. And then I remember, and the reason I mentioned Kosi's name is because she was so instrumental, like, in, you know, the whole of this step 3 journey. And I remember after writing step 2, and it was, we're saying, Kosi just randomly, let's try and write step 3. I said, Kosi, how will I write? I don't have a US visa. As I am like this, I don't even have an appointment date this year. And there's something about writing step 3. There's like a time, there's a score reporting delay that usually happens from 1st of January. So if you write your step 3 anytime before, on or before December 31st, you get your results in 2 weeks' time. But if you don't write your step 3, if you write your step 3 from January 1st, you're going to get your result around March. At least that's how it was before. I don't know if they're going to change it this year. So remember she was saying, oh, let's try and write by December. I said, this was happening in October. We're having this conversation in October. I said, Kosi, first of all, we have not been reading for step 3 because we took all that time to prepare for applications and all of that. I don't even have a US visa. I don't have an appointment date. Yes, I had applied for a visa, and the date I had gotten after I paid for my visa and everything was February 2024, right? That's this February that just passed. And that was October. And you're saying, let's write our exam in December. I don't have a visa appointment date. And she's like, let's try. Let's be praying. Let's be reading. I see this kind of thing. But you know me, like after I've seen what God had done for me throughout the course of the year, I stopped doubting. I would just say, okay, fine, let's do it. Let's try. Let's go. If God wants this to happen, it would definitely happen, right? So I remember we just started reading. Like, we'll be preparing for interviews. I'll probably just do one block. Like, we'll do one block of study and, you know, let's call it a day. We're not really seriously reading because none of us had a US visa. She herself, she was in the UK. She did not have a US visa. And myself in Nigeria, I did not have a US visa. So she had applied for a visa and then we're all looking for a date. And also, I mentioned step 3 to my family and they're like, okay, oh, how much is it? I finished talking to them. We're like, who's the bill? There's a lot of money involved in this, but let's just be looking. Let's see how God will provide. And I just said, okay. Me, I didn't even really bother because, how am I even going to write the exam? I don't know if it's going to happen. So I remember sometime in November, Kusi had called me like, Uzube, I got a date though. I was like, okay, you have a date. She had a visa date like ending towards the end of November. And I remember I was just like, oh yeah, now Kusi, go. If she works, I'll do my own. That's how Kusi went for a visa appointment and came back with a visa. I was like, huh? You don't mean it? And she's like, and this is something you always hear in the streets. Oh, it's not possible. Once you tell them you're going to write step 3, they're not going to give you a visa. And I'm like, God did it for Kosi. Like, he's definitely in the neighborhood. Like, I'm not going to limit him in my mind. I'm going to do what is in my power to. And I remember just telling my parents about it. I'm like, okay, no problem. See if you can find a date. So the person that helped Kosi secure a date, I reached out to him as well. And he's like, okay, let me be looking. Her own is a different case because she is in the UK and it's much easier. I know how the whole visa process is for Nigerians, especially if you're now in Nigeria, living in Nigeria. So he was like, let him just try and see if he was going to get a date. And I just kept keeping faith alive, praying to God and saying, God, if this is your will, like, it's going to happen. And at this time, I'd gone back to work. I wasn't really reading as well also, but I was just going. And I remember Kosi just saying, because, okay, Kosi had gotten a visa. Like, she now started gingering me. Let's read more. And me, I was just like, there, Kosi, me, I don't have a visa. Oh, God, leave me. You're just raising my hopes for nothing. And she's like, oh, don't worry. Let's just be reading small. So we're reading small. One block here, two blocks there. Many days of rest in between. We're just jonesing, basically. And Kosi had booked her exam. She's like, she booked her exam for 28th and 29th of December. I'm like, okay, that's, you know, fair enough. You've gotten a visa, like, you know, you can do that. And then she's like, Uzube, just try. Maybe try an emergency visa. I said, okay. First week of December, I paid for my step 3 and tried to apply for an emergency visa. I don't even know what I was thinking. Of course, they were going to deny it because, I don't know, if writing an exam is such an emergency. Apply for the emergency visa. And you know the whole process, of course, in applying for the visa, it means I had to pick an exam date. So at this point, I was picking an exam date and I did not have a US visa. I didn't have a visa appointment date. I picked the same date that Kosi picked, 28th and 29th of December. And I applied for the emergency visa. And in 3 days' time, they denied the request. And they denied it. I was like, okay, this is my cue. Maybe God is saying, calm down, relax, this is not going to happen. Kosi says a lie, don't worry. At this point, I'm like, Kosi, please leave me. Remember, this is like first week of December. I'm like, Kosi, please leave me. Like, let me go and look for you. It's like, cancel this exam, like, and rebook it for sometime next year. Like, after the March or something. So Kosi's like, don't worry. Just wait, God can do it. If Kosi talks to you like this. God can do it, don't worry. And so I just kept waiting. I remember, like, I think it was the 8th of December or so. I don't even know what I was doing. And this guy calls me, the guy that was securing the date, he calls me, he's like, oh, are you free on the 13th? I say, free to do what? He said, free to go for your visa appointment. I say, eh? You say, what am I doing in my life? I'm completely free. And he's like, okay, sure. Like, you have a visa appointment date for the 13th of December. I say, how did this happen? Let me not even ask too much questions. I say, God, it is you who provided this date. Just barely 2 weeks to my exam. You too, you will complete the miracle. I remember I had an interview. I had an interview with a program, like, on the 12th of December. So after the interview, I had, of course, time difference usually makes the interviews to last, like way deep into the night. So I'd finished the interview around 12 midnight. And I just rested. I was like, God, I don't know what to say in this appointment tomorrow. My visa appointment was like for 7 a.m. It was early in the morning the next day. I said, God, I don't know what to say. But like, your hand, if you truly want this to happen, you're going to make it happen. I've been denied a U.S. visa before. So I was not expecting so much, honestly. So I went to the embassy. And I remember my brother texting me early that morning. He was like, nee. The most important thing when it comes to visa interviews is trying to convince the consular officer, like, of your you intend to go to the US and your intent to return, right, to your country, since it's like a non-immigrant visa you apply for, that's a visiting visa. And I said, okay, no problem. And he suggested like to me like a couple of things to say, mention in my story, and I just took them into like took them to memory, right? But I just told God, you know what, and this is a prayer I pray all the time, like I'm like, God, I never want to speak words that, this is like my normal prayer, like when I'm praying to God in the morning, like, God, let the words I speak to people today be words that are filled with grace. Like, I don't want to meet people on the road or meet random people and say things that will hurt them or things that will make them feel bad, right? This is something I constantly pray about. I remember that day and I just said, God, like, as I speak, like, let this person understand me. Let them understand what it is I want to do and let them even listen to me in the first place. My very first visa interview did not last up to 2 minutes. Like, I think they literally asked me my age and asked me my purpose of visit. And I told them I wanted to go visit my brother or something. And then they said, sorry, you're not eligible. The conversation was not long. This second one, I had told God, I want to be able to explain to this person what I'm actually going to do. Right, so I remember walking into the embassy and trying to rehearse a story, but it wasn't working. And if you know me, I'm not very good at rehearsing stories. I like to speak from my heart, honestly. Like, even sometimes when I script episodes, I end up wearing off the script and saying things from my heart. So I was really winging it, right? So it got to my turn, and then after exchanging pleasantries, of course it was a woman, and you know how these things are. I was so scared of meeting her because a lot of people in front of me had been denied. If you've ever been to the embassy, you know that you can see what is happening in front of you, right? So a lot of people in front of me had been denied, and I kept saying in my heart, God, I don't want to meet this woman. I don't want to meet this woman. And eventually I ended up in front of her, and I'm like, you know what? I'm not going back home with this visa. But of course, I had to do the interview, right? If I could run, I would have run at that point, but I had to do the interview. So after exchanging pleasantries, she asked, okay, so what's the purpose of your visit? And then from wherever the confidence or whatever the idea came from, I asked her, do you mind if I start with a backstory? And then she's like, oh, sure, go ahead. So we talked about, I told her about how I graduated medical school and when I graduated and what I've been doing since then. And she was just listening to me patiently. And then I told her how that I've always wanted to do my specialty training in the US and, you know, what needed to be done to do that. And I talked about having taken the step one and the step two. And then I told her that I needed to take the step three because, you know, taking the exam and getting a high score in the exam would, you know, help me stand a chance at getting into residency training, even though, like, it doesn't guarantee me a slot, but it helps me to stand a chance at it, right? And then, you know, and she was just nodding. And then she asked me what specialty I wanted to go into. I told her. She asked me how long the training would take, and I told her. We just had a conversation, really. A fruitful conversation, if I must add that. So, and then we talked about, she asked me when my exam was. I showed her the documents, like, you know, that proved the dates of my exams. Showed her all of that. She asked me how long I'll be staying in the US. And I told her. And you guys, that was it. Like, she just typed a lot of things she typed in. And then she's like, oh, yeah, so we're going to be approving your visa today. I said, huh? What did you say? Do you mean that? You guys, that's how my visa was approved. And I ran out of there. Legit, believe you me, I ran out of there. Because I did not want a situation where she would call me back and like, oh, sorry, I made a mistake. I didn't mean to approve it. You guys, I ran out of there with everything in me. And then I went with my mom. And then she said when she saw my face, she couldn't tell, was it approved? Was it not approved? Because I had a blank look to my face. And eventually when I told her, we started jumping and shouting. She's like, ha, nee, this is it, finally. Because I always used to cry in my house. I'm the only person that does not have, that has not left the country before. So I was always, you know, saying that at home. She's like, ah, Zubi, finally. You know, there's nobody again. Like, you can now not say you're the only person in the family that has not left the country. So, yeah. You guys, that's how I got my visa. And then I got my visa. I called Kosi. She was like, I told you. I'm like, yes, so you told me not to doubt. And I, you know, kept doubting. You know, we thanked God. we thanked God, and then and we're like, okay, it's be like we have to create a timetable. What are we doing? We have like 2 weeks to our exam. And I told her, first of all, I'm going to church, sorry. So the next day, 14th, I had reboot camp. Remember the reboot camp that I had attended the first time the previous year that led me to CCI in the first place? So the reboot camp for December was happening like the next day, from the 14th to the 16th. So I told her, see, it's not like I've not been reading since, okay? So it's not what I will read in the next 3 days that will make or mar me in this exam. So let me first of all go and lie down before God and thank him for all he has done for me, first of all, and receive the grace for the next year. Please, thank you. And Kosu was like, you know what, go. Kosu calls me Mommy G.O. Say, Mommy G.O., go and collect power for us. And you guys, that's how the next 3 days, I spent the next 3 days in God's presence, you know, just literally bawling my eyes out. Let me tell you guys, you would find me always in God's presence, bawling my eyes out. I'm not even going to lie. Whether it's in Thanksgiving or in request for something, I am always bawling my eyes out. And I'm not ashamed to say it. It's something I am very proud of even. Because, like, he's my source, right? So, spend the next 3 days in God's presence, literally. And I became so, like, it gave me a lot of confidence. Like, I knew that the next a week and some change was going to be very, like, the toughest that year. Because I had a lot of things to read. I had a lot of things to practice. And I knew it was going to be like that. And I told God, the same prayer as I prayed for my step two. God, like, if you gave me times 10 speed for my step two, I need times 1 million speed right now. I need to be understanding. I need to remember things I read for step one. Like, I prayed very specific prayers. I remember making these prayers. And then the next 1 week, nobody in the world saw me again. No. I bent my head and I read like I had never read before. I studied because I thought Kosi is another, like, really superhuman that I met in this journey. Like, the girl was working NHS work and, you know, doing all of that. And I know that hard work and resilience, you know, does a lot. Like, it pays to be hardworking and it pays to be resilient. But I'm not going to deny the God factor. The God factor is like the secret sauce, right? It's not even so secret anymore because I don't even want it to be secret. But it's like the sauce, the real sauce. So, yeah, we traveled. I traveled on the 25th for my exams, and my exams were 28th and 29th. Jet lag who? Jet lag what? Mainly I arrived. Like I arrived by midnight of 25th, like their time, US time. And I barely even slept that night. Like, I slept, like, of course there was the excitement. I hadn't seen my brother in what, up to 10 years. So there was like the excitement of that. There was all other stuff. And then there was also anxiety for my exam. The next morning I was back to the books. Like, no time to be tired. Like, I had so much to cover. And then, you know, that happened. Wrote my exams. Very tough exams, I must say. Really, really tough. But at this point I was like, God, at this, you know how there's a point you get to and you're like, you know what, I know, I trust God. Like, I know that my Redeemer lives. There's a point you get to and, you know, you're fighting like a won battle. Like, you're in the midst of victory, right? And that was where I was at that point. I wasn't so scared. I knew I was anxious, but I wasn't so scared. I knew I was going to pass. You know, 2 weeks in after the exams, I smashed my step three, honestly, in my opinion. I don't care. I got a 234 and it was a pretty good score. So yeah, you guys, that was how God did it. Like, you know, and sometimes I tell this story. It's one of my favorite stories to tell now. I have some stories that I consider like really favorite stories for me to tell. But this particular story has taken like number one position because what God did for me. Remember the song I sang at the beginning? What the Lord has done for me, I cannot tell it all. And this is like, there are lots of small details I missed out because of time. Like, I've spoken for a very long time. It's an hour already. I'm sorry, you guys. But I really had to tell this story because I promised God that I would tell this story. And there was no way this story was not going to make it onto Rara Brief Not Perfect. Like, no way. There was no way it wasn't going to make it here. And there's some takeaways from this story that I really want to point out. The first one is, I've mentioned that, you know, God is the source. He is actually the source. You can hold him by the neck. You can trust him because he does keep his promises. That's one. Two is, the people you surround yourself with I'm so obsessed with Lai's latest, okay, well, it's not the latest skit, but it was very recent skit, where he talked about, where he said, the naira is falling and you're falling in love. And then in the somewhere in the conversation, he talked about how your circle of friends will determine the circumference of the earth to you. Let me tell you, my friends provided ginger, they provided prayers, they provided support, they provided finances, they provided, it was a lot of things. They provided the love, their warmth, their energy, a lot of things throughout this journey. The people you surround yourself with, the friends, that's your friends, that's the family you chose with your hands, not the ones you were born with, they can make or mar you. Your association can make or mar you. So important, so important. Put it in prayers. Ask God to lead your, order your steps to the right people. And, you know, when you find the right people, make an effort. Be there for them as they are for you. You know, be there in their life and, you know, make an effort to be good friends with them. Make an effort to also be in their life. And let me tell you, the grass is not greener on the other side. The grass is greener where you water it. It has taken me, you know, some time to learn this, but the grass is greener where you water it. It's not on that other person's side where it looks greener. So please invest in your friends, invest in being a good friend, invest in, you know, the friends that you already have. Then the third thing I'm going to say is, please never say never. Like, do away with naysayers in your life. If there are people in your life that are constantly telling you this thing is hard, don't do it. Please consciously avoid that. Avoid those kind of people, because I know a lot of times where I heard, Nzubi, this thing, can you do it? Don't go and fail. Don't go and see. If there are people in your life that constantly put you down, or that constantly tell you that something is not possible, or there are certain kind of people that certain things are made for, I think you should reevaluate your relationship with those people and know if it's, you know, if it's what you want, if it's, you know, what rocks your boat, then fine. But if it's not what you want for yourself, then step away from mediocrity. Is a valid prayer point. Like, step away from mediocrity. Don't be mediocre. Like, you weren't created to be mediocre. So don't let mediocrity be something that, you know, is a thing in your life, right? And then gratitude is such an important thing. I have a friend that always, you know, is very big on gratitude and always try to get me to be grateful. I struggled with it before, but now it's something I don't struggle with. Like, by God's grace, I have learned to be so, you know, grateful for the littlest things. Gratitude is such a big deal. Like, practice gratitude constantly. Tell yourself, remind yourself, call to remembrance the things that God has done in your life, the things that you've been through that God pulled you out of. You know, very little things. They might not even be very big things, but very little things. And you realize that when you're grateful for things, you see things in a different light. You see God's plans for you better. And, you know, you realize them and you work in them. Practice gratitude. So important. Now, I'm not trying to rush you. And what else? I feel this has been such a long episode. I don't even know how many of you that is going to listen up until this point. But if you listened up until now, you're the real OG. The real OG. And I love you so much. I love you so much. I love that we're doing this together. And I know I've made this promise a lot of times, but I'm going to try to be more active on here. Of course, I'm entering a new phase of life. Yes, congratulations are in order. Thank you. Yes, I'm entering a new phase of life. And I know that there will be more experiences that I'm going to have that I'll love to share with you guys as well. So by all means, please continue to stick with me on this journey. And thank you for being here up until now. Don't forget to share what the Lord has done for me with other people. I'm sure there are people that love to hear this testimony. I'm sure that there are people that is going to encourage as well. So don't forget to share it. Please do share with your friends and with your family as well. And thank the Lord for me. Like, when you listen to this, at the end of listening to this, just say, thank you, God, for us to be. Thank you, God, for us to be. And whatever you're believing God for, whatever it is that, you know, gives you sleepless nights, I hope that, you know, you find some encouragement in this and you find, you know, some strength to hold on to God's promises for you. And if you're listening to this and you're not yet doing life with Jesus, I just want to ask you, first of all, like, why do you like stress? Do you just want to suffer? On a lighter note, do you just want to suffer? please don't suffer. Like, God's arms are so wide open. He's so ready and so willing to have you. And I mean, he came all the way, left his home in glory and came in human flesh just because he loves you and he wants you to, you know, he wants to be your everything. So what's the point of struggling when you can hand over everything to him? You know, just, it says, you know, all you that labor and are burdened, you know, just lay your burdens on me and let me take care of you. Just rest in my peace. And I know you can do that. I know you want that for yourself as well. So, and it's pretty easy. There's no, it's like the simplest thing, yet the most profound thing. You literally just have to say, God, I believe. Jesus, I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose again for me. And I believe that as you died, I died with you. And as you rose, I rose with you. And, you know, I believe that you're my savior and I accept it. It's literally that simple. And as you've accepted, of course there are other things that you're going to do to maintain this relationship with him, but it's a gradual process, it's a journey. And this journey, he, you know, he deals with all of us with in our various peculiarities, as you know, as he would. And you know, I always say this whenever I'm sharing the gospel with anyone, there's a God-sized vacuum in all of us that only him can fill. And except he fills it, there's absolutely nothing in this world, absolutely nothing that can fill it. So, I'm going to stop talking. I've been rambling a lot for the past hour and even my mouth is starting to pain me. So, guys, until the very next one, all my love from my heart to yours. Bye!